The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
Hello and welcome back to the Potty Plotters Plotcast Podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 8, and I'm Julia.
And I'm Elaine. I was just going to say I'm Julia.
Stop it.
No, I know. I don't want to be you.
I'm not Julia and
no,
I'm not Elaine.
No, it's a bit peculiar, isn't it? Anyway, what?
Anyway, so in this episode, we're going to update you on stuff that we have done so far. What's that, Elaine?
Loads
stuff.
Of it. Right, stuff. Okay. Yeah, I'll tell you all about it in a minute.
Homework.
And then we're going to talk about soil and language. What language are we learning?
Dirty.
Oh, that's all she can talk, mucky. We're talking dahlias, rhubarb, and we've got a chat with Callum Stokes.
So loads to get on with.
Yeah.
Go on then, hurry up.
Get on with it.
You know,
then.
I've had a right day. I'm not going to bore you with it all just yet, but I tell you what, I've had a right week, never mind a whole day. Before I go any further, let's just paint the picture for these people who listen, Julia.
Yeah.
Whereabouts are we? I'll interview you, shall I?
Go on then,
where are we?
We're in the polytunnel at the moment.
What kind of a polytunnel?
A big one.
Right. It's going to be a very difficult interview, I can see. So this is the community polytunnel.
This is the community polytunnel. It's about 18 feet wide by about 30 foot long.
And at the moment, it's starting to get filled up with little seedlings
It is, because we...
There's no way to talk about Callum.
Callum. Callum started as a little seedling, or as we prefer to call it, one of our starter plotters. And that's what we're going to be talking to him about later, because he has moved on. But it is now starting to fill up with the plants that the new starters are growing from the Growing Academy. And also, I've noticed you've been planting a few bits and bobs in here.
Yes, I have, because I've been really busy on my plot. I don't know if I've said that already, but blooming out, I tell you what, it is cold out there. So today we were going to be broadcasting, is that the right word?
No, recording.
Recording, yeah. We were going to be recording on our own plots, and then we were out there for about 5 minutes before certain person opposite Gareth actually then said,
bit cold, innit?
Yeah, he's not odd like us.
No, we've been out all day, every day this week on the plots. You've been very busy doing more raised beds, and you've been dragging them around, and you've nearly wet your pants, haven't you? Not plants, you've nearly wet your pants a few times working with Kev Plot 2.
And it's a question, actually, Julia, before we even get going on what we're supposed to be talking about, is where does all your strength go when you start laughing? When you start laughing, Gareth is now rolling his eyes, looking up at the ceiling. But I'm telling
just thinking
you,
of, like last week where I had to Google something. Do I need to Google that as well?
It is true. When you start laughing, all of your strength goes. I know, because I have been moving some of the longest, heaviest sleepers in the world. Kev made me laugh, and I couldn't move.
Sorry. Hang on. Let's take a couple of steps back.
Okay.
Kev made you laugh.
Yes.
First time for everything.
And, well, you've had a busy week and I've had a busy week, because we've decided that the chalet that was on the plot, that I inherited on the plot, really has had its day, because it's leaking in the ceiling, coming up through the floors, and now we've got mice, so we've taken a sledgehammer to it.
Yeah, I walked in and went, something missing here.
And that's what we've been doing. So when people say there's nothing to do on allotments at this time of year, believe you me, we are building with a rush up to April and beyond.
And can I just say, in true allotment style, the roof on the chalet had been replaced and replaced and replaced, and layer and layer and layer. There must have been about 8 layers on the roof, including a table, some lino, and all manner of other Ridley tin and everything. So it did take quite a while, and now we are preparing for a new summer house,
and we'll be able to broadcast for record from there very soon. I
can't
right
wait.
Gareth has requested that we have solar power.
Well, let's
be honest, I requested electricity.
Oh.
And that's the only way of getting it here, isn't it?
Yes, okay. It is.
Shall I quickly rattle through how people can get in touch with us?
Because
apparently somebody likes it when I do it.
Play to the audience.
Why not? So if you want to get in touch with us, you can get in touch with us on Facebook, Instagram, and X, that's formerly known as Twitter. When can we stop doing that bit? At Potty Plotters. TikTok at The Potty Plotters. You can email us naughtycorner@pottyplotters.uk, or check out the website pottyplotters.uk. Before we go on, I've got a little bit of an announcement. I'm not leaving.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not. Not this week. So, we've just gone over another milestone of listeners. So, do you remember, I'm trying to think when it was now, somewhere in episode 30s or 40s where we went over the 10,000. Yeah. And we got the cakes out.
Yeah.
Got the cakes out again. Because we've gone over 20,000 for both series. So well done. Thank you to everybody who's taken the time to listen to this and subscribe. Moving on. Also, thank you to everybody who has supported us by leaving a tip on Ko-fi, because some more people have done that. So thank you very much.
It's very nice.
It is, isn't it? So the Ko-fi fund has bought the Cakey fund. We said we'd give a shout out to everybody who does that. So apologies, we are recording a bit in advance. So this is Easter, and it's a couple of weeks before Easter when we're recording. So if you do leave us a tip, you'll have to wait a couple of weeks before you hear your name, but bear with us. So a shout out this week to Dorset Sam, who says, my hairdresser recommended your podcast, so we're getting recommendations in Dorset. She endorses.
See corny joke there,
and I love it. I'm a newbie plot holder since November, and it's mostly an outdoor paddling pool at the moment.
Sam.
I'm looking forward to getting stuck in with your help, and have already started saving tights.
Well, brilliant.
So Sam, thank you very much.
Yeah, and we have to say we love you very much.
We do.
We do. And let me just say something about tights. It's not only tights that works for us, but pop socks, because I've now been stuffing my pop socks full of different sized plant pots. Julia, you are laughing. What are you laughing at?
Well, I'm laughing because when you showed me your pop socks, I actually thought they were stockings, because the length of them on me were up to my thighs. But there you go, moving on.
So if you would like to leave us a tip on Ko-fi.com, you can do it by going to Ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters. And we'll love you forever. And so will the cake fund.
Do like an ice cake. Have we got to wait till we're finished for them?
Probably.
Okay.
The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
This week, I also want to say that Sue in Stockport, she's been in touch via email. Hi, ladies. I've been saving the coffee grinds from my daily coffee making gizmo. Now, that in itself is quite something that you can work on, Sue. As I've heard that they're really good for the garden, my question is for you. One, is there any truth in this tip? If the answer to question one is no, my next question won't be relevant. See, that in itself was confusing. But anyway, Sue, we move on.
So,
is there any truth that saving coffee grinds is good for the garden? Do we have to dig them into the soil or scatter them on the soil? Are there any plants that love them or hate them? And guess what? Still loving the podcast. Sue in Stockport. Kiss, kiss.
That's thanks, nice. Sue. Right, okay. To answer your first question, yes, it's always useful to have the coffee grinds, and a lot of the coffee shops will be giving them away. So, you know, if you see them, ask them if you can take them. Now, the thing with them is that they've already been kind of used, so a lot of the nutrients and the caffeine will have been removed from them. So unless you're going to pile them really, really thick around a plant, they're not going to harm any plant really. But what I would do, either scatter them thinly around the plants and on the top of the soil, or the safest way is just to add them to your composter.
And that's what you do.
That's what I do. Yeah, yeah.
Now, the other thing is squirrels don't like them.
No, what I found is when the squirrels were interfering with the bulbs, we did put a layer of coffee grinds on the top of the pot, and it did keep the squirrel away. So obviously they don't like coffee. And in terms of plants that like them and dislike them, you know, like I say, there's not that many nutrients and caffeine in them, so there's not that many that are really going to hate them. But something that will love them, because they are slightly acidic, is things like your blueberries and your gooseberries.
So they're worth keeping them.
Absolutely.
That's another thing.
Coffee a day keeps the squirrel away.
He's bigging up his party again.
Yeah, there's going to be trouble in a minute.
Yeah.
Hints and tips for shortcuts to success. The Potty Plotters Plotcast.
Shall we go to some updates, Julia? We've got tins in front of us here. Mm-hmm. See, Gareth is now coming back because he has got another speaking part.
Yeah.
Moving the cakes to one side. dragging over these little teeny greeny ones.
They seem to have grown quite a lot in the last week.
Yeah.
It's amazing what heat will do, Gareth. Mm-hmm. They are yours, Gareth. They are yours, Julia.
Yeah, you had to look after mine. Gareth, didn't you? I did, because he left them at your house. Yeah.
When you say look after, I accidentally forgot them.
Yeah. Yeah, that old chestnut.
Yeah.
Right then, so we planted them just a few weeks ago, and mine are around 3 inches tall now. Julia?
Mine are just poking out the top of the little...
Tin.
It's a
word, it's a tin.
I'm trying to remember what it was. They're about an inch sticking out of the top. When can I eat them, Elaine?
Well, we're going to have a go in a minute. Okay. And what are yours, Gareth, now I've revived them?
Revived them. So my rocket is probably, I don't know, centimetre above the tin. So it's not very big. And it just looks like a massive mound of crest. And we said that last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
It doesn't resemble rocket in any way, shape or form.
Yours is the only one that looks like something different. Mine looks like crest as well.
It does, actually. Yeah. And mine doesn't. Mine looks
This
lovely.
Doesn't even smell of rocket. Because rocket's got quite a peppery smell when you buy
it. Well, I wonder if we were to snip a bit of it all, whether or not that would release all the smells. So what I'm going to do then is I'm going to pinch some of the tops of mine, which are red radish.
Yeah.
I'll just pull
actually,
some off.
I'm going to pull a clump off.
Smells.
Actually, when you the leaves don't smell, but when you get down further down, you can smell the peppery bit of it.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Ooh, that's peppery. Ooh, I say.
It doesn't taste of rocket.
Try that.
Oh, actually, no. Switching. Hang on. Hold on. It does.
It's
got an after kick.
Oh, that's got a big kick.
Right, then. Want to taste some of my radish?
So what's this? What's yours?
Mine was red mizuna.
Which is a lettuce, isn't it?
Mizuna is a little bit peppery.
I'll tell
anyway.
You what, you'll have an interesting kick on that one. What do you think?
It doesn't kick
you as
much as mine.
I think we need to neutralise it with cake.
Well, I'm just going to we haven't tasted Gareth's at all, so I'm just leaning over and getting his tin. He's got a bit precious about his tin.
I haven't.
Yeah.
So precious, I left it behind.
Like a parent. Blooming, eh?
Well...
That tastes of rocket.
Whoa.
That's very intense flavour.
It is, yeah.
I don't know what yours is supposed to taste of.
Radish, red radish. Well, I'll tell you what, if any of these were sprinkled, flipping heck.
I didn't think that was that strong.
Did you taste any, Gareth?
Yes, I did.
Well, I'll tell you what, have you tasted that one?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I think it is very, very peppery. Mm. It's not something that... I would necessarily eat a lot of, but
well,
I quite like
guess
it.
Guess what I'm cooking for stuff with now then.
Yeah, I think that would work. Yeah, if you put it on a sandwich, it would add a little bit
of something.
I was going
to say, it's not going to go far, is it? It would go on a couple of sandwiches, but, you know, for speed, I suppose it's a great thing to do with the kids.
Yes.
I'm not
convinced because this little tin, kind of, we spoke about it before, it's a bit like the garnish. You know when they throw just something on when you have a meal and they just put some random leaf on as a garnish? It just reminds me of that because there's not enough of it.
No.
I'm used to rocket being the big leaves that you kind of have when you buy a packet of it from the supermarket or whatever. And that just, whilst it has the taste of rocket, doesn't inspire me to go, I'm going to do that again, just on the basis that it's... I'd use rocket as a salad leaf rather than a garnish.
Yeah.
And that's a garnish. It's cress.
I mean, I think in terms of microgreens, I wouldn't go out and buy something specifically to grow microgreens. But if I got half a packet, say, of cabbages or kale left over, and, you know, I want to try something else and the packet's open, I might use them to create some microgreens. But I wouldn't necessarily go out and do it.
Well, Julia, you've now opened your mouth and you've said it. I've got some spare seeds, so what I'm
That's
now
surprised
is that what we do is I have actually got my packets here, and I've got the packets in front of me.
Yeah.
So, that's what we're going to be doing now. I've broken that one, but that's okay because it's something that we're going to open. And then what we're going to do then is we've got packets here. And what we'll do is we'll have a go ourselves now of our own seeds and see what they taste like in a few weeks.
If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave us a tip at ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters. That's ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters. And we'll love you forever.
Elaine, have you got a hint and a tip about tools?
I have. Now then, Julia, the hint in the tip is all about tools this week, and Gareth thinks that's what the tool hint and tip is going to be about. Sorry, he thinks that's what it's going to be, but we've double 60, haven't we?
Yeah.
Right then. The hint and tip this week is actually about taking seed trays home with dahlias growing in them. Now then, the hint and tip is don't do it where a cat can get to the seed tray. Now then, Julia, tell us about your exploits this week.
Yeah, so I planted some dahlias in a seed tray because I thought I'm going to have a go at taking cuttings. And so I thought, well, it's a little bit cold down the allotment, so I'll take them home. And I just left them in my conservatory, and then I heard a little scratching noise and went back to them and found my cat was trying to have a little tinkle in the tray. So top tip, don't take it home and let... To be fair, I was confusing my cat, wasn't I? You know, she thought I was providing her with a nice soft facility. And so there's a top tip. Keep your seed trays away from your cat.
Yeah, because you know what looks like dahlia tuber.
I think I got there first.
The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
Right then, so keeping the kids busy over the next few days, weeks,
yeah.
Julia.
I'm a bit worried when you've added this because you've already turned up with a great big hammer in your hand. What are you going to be doing with the children over this time?
Well, I think I can get literacy and numeracy for children into most things that you do on an allotment and on the garden. And at the side of me here, I've got some very cheap fat balls.
I beg your pardon.
Indeed. And these are bird food primarily. Yeah. They are full of suet, and they really do feed the birds, don't they?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I've got one in each hand. They're not very big, golf ball size for those of you who play golf or who are married to somebody or living with somebody who does. I know. And I've
Gareth's
got the hammer.
Looking worried now because she's very near its equipment, and we're talking about
nowhere.
I'm talking about the microphone and not his other equipment. Yeah, carry on.
Right. So I've got this hammer, and it is a little way away. But what I'm going to do is just right then. I've smashed with the hammer a fat ball. It's not fat anymore. And I've split it all open. Now then, inside this fat ball, I can tell you, there are loads of different types of seeds. Right, if you've got children, grandchildren or the like, now what you do is you get all of these seeds out and put them into little piles. Now, there's some that I can tell are corn or wheat, but there are others that are sunflower seeds.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, look at that one. Loads. Right, so I'm putting all of these to one side, and I am getting in a mess, but it's not over Gareth's equipment. So, having put them all on one side, what we're going to do, Julia, is we are going to plant them. And we're going to plant them to see what comes up. Now, the exciting thing is we won't know what is going to come out of these seeds. We don't know. Look, there's some little round ones. There's some long cream ones. There's some orange
People
ones.
People are listening to this thinking, why don't you just go and buy yourself a pack of seeds?
Well, because it's about keeping the kids entertained.
Oh, yeah.
And also then we can feed the birds afterwards. So what I'll do is I will put these into a net so that the birds can have them. But it's going to be really interesting as to what seeds come up. The other thing is it's cost me pence for one, two, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 fat balls. I think that we've probably got value for money with the sunflower seeds, never mind anything else, that we can plant and then see what they come up as.
Okay.
I'm quite excited about that, but then that's me.
Top-notch advice, no Latin included. The Potty Plotters Plotcast.
Next, Elaine. Testing the soil temperatures. Now, I remember that you used to tell people to drop their trousers and sit on the plots. What's that all about? Have you
depends
got some kind of perversion?
Yeah, it depends who it was. In the olden days, the farmers used to say, when the soil is warm, you will know because you can sit naked on the soil. Now, I don't know if it's a farmer's thing, to be quite honest. But all I can say is that it's not World Naked Gardening Day just yet.
No.
So keep your clothes on. If you go to your soil and you put your hand on it, I know it's sort of cold out there, but it is quite bright. You will find whether or not you can tolerate it for up to a minute.
Okay.
If it's too cold, it's not time to plant.
Right.
If, and you will see, the top layer starts to dry out on your soil, that generally is when it starts to warm up underneath. Now, we are still underwater. The water is clearing off, but it's the first time in a long time since I've seen the orchard that's dry, the community orchard. So all I'm going to say is, don't take your trousers off. It's still too cold. But traditionally, Easter is the time where the soil warms up.
Yeah, and we start to plant our potatoes.
But the problem is,
Easter moves.
So all that you have to do is keep putting your hand on the soil.
Yeah.
Don't put anything in yet. I know that everybody's chomping at the bit, but please hold back. I was going to say, please hold your taters, but it's not a good thing to say, is it?
Dahlias, what are you doing with your dahlias, Elaine? I know, I mean, we've obviously gone dahlia mad and you've heard my unfortunate story. So you've got some here with you, have you?
I have. And the reason that we want to talk about dahlias is because they're still in the supermarkets.
Yeah.
They are still in garden centres and they arrive like this.
Ooh.
Now then, I've got this one, which is Blue Bayou.
Oh.
See, I immediately want to start and sing, but I won't.
No.
Yes, you're looking like what?
I don't know that song.
Blue Bayou. Do you know it?
No.
I've got this one, and this was bought from a garden centre. Now, this one was £4.99, but what I've done now is I've opened the plastic, and this is how dahlias arrive. Now then, look how big and beautiful
it's
that
like
is,
like a big
Junior.
Fat hand, isn't it?
It is. And all I'm going to do is swizzle round, and I'm moving all of the hairy roots to one side, because I'm looking for last year's, I found it, last year's stalk. Right, and there it is. Can you see?
Yeah.
Now the stalk stands up on its own. It doesn't look like the rest of these tubery bits, but it looks like it's all in good order.
Some of those tubers look
mouldy or anything.
Some of these tubers look like they've had ends bit taken off the end of their fingers, like their fingernail ends.
Yeah.
Are they going to be all right? Or
yeah,
are you
they'll
take
be
them
absolutely
all?
Oh, okay. Fine, yeah. So don't worry about those. And any bits normally that drop off will drop off. But I've been all the way through this
now,
and it looks fine. The main thing is that it's firm to touch. You touch them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. They're not dried up. And all I'm going to do now is, having got all the bits all over me, is I've got a bucket here to one side, and I've got, it's quite big, and I've put around 6 inches of multi-purpose compost in. Now all I'm going to do is plant literally the dahlia on the top.
Right.
Okay. Now then, I'm not
pushing
it down.
So it looks like
a hand on the top, doesn't
it? Yeah,
it
looks like you've squashed a hand into the top of the compost, yeah.
And all you do is spread out each part of the tuber. So each part of it. Now, did I ever tell you that I played the tuber?
Yes, you did, and you play the banjo. You're very talented.
Yeah. It's funny what you end up doing, isn't it? Talking about allotments instead.
I know, there you
go. I've got multi-purpose compost at the side of me here.
Yeah.
And, my friend, if I can give you that bag.
Yeah.
If only we had more room.
What are you doing? Right, so you're going to put this over the top. Elaine,
yes.
Why are we doing it in tubs rather than planting directly in the ground?
Good question. And all that I'm doing is I want to get ahead of the game because I want an early show. So these would be fine if I want to leave them until the soil warms up. But my thought is if I plant them into buckets, and that's all I'm going to do, and give them a head start. So they will start to grow.
Yeah.
And then as they start to grow, I will put them out, which will be round about the end of April.
Okay.
Now, of course, these are not frost hardy, so they will stay in the polytunnel, and I'm not even going to water it, believe it or not. No. Now then, the important thing is, Julia, I'm going to leave the stalky bit, the right at the end of the stalk, I'm going to leave up out of the soil, whack it, so that all of the bits...
No,
keep off the microphone, she said.
Yeah.
Keep off it, and there you go. It's all covered up nicely, and then I'm going to simply put a piece of plastic over the top, carbonate, polycarbonate, or even some glass just to keep the heat in.
Okay.
They do like to be warm from the bottom up, but in this polytunnel, they'll be nice and warm.
Oh, lovely.
I'll let you know while we go on as the weeks go by.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
I noticed while we're sitting here looking out through the polytunnel, and I can already see Kev's forced rhubarb. Now, I know that you've already had your hands on his rhubarb once, but what are we going to do with his rhubarb, Elaine?
Right, it's been forced.
Yeah, what does that
mean? He's covered it with black bins.
Oh, he's not towed it up.
No. No, and you can see over to the right that the bins are still there.
Yeah.
And all he did was turned upside down bins over the top. They were black bins.
Okay.
So all he's done is he's taken those off, and this beautiful bright pink, luminous pink, I would say, rhubarb underneath. And that rhubarb has been forced, and it is sweeter than normal rhubarb. So all I'm going to say to you is that what we need to do is to now leave it alone, because Kev took loads. I am talking armsful.
Yeah.
And I had some as well. And that's the same on mine, but his is actually further ahead. So just force the rhubarb. Once you've started to take it, you now have a weaker plant. So now let it get flourishing, and more rhubarb will grow. And it is, if you've noticed.
Brilliant.
Well, we first introduced you to Callum Stokes in episode 26 of season 1. That was a long time ago, Elaine.
Have you made it up, or is it really that long ago?
No, Gareth researched it.
Ooh,
he said that's
it'll be right.
Okay.
Then. That's okay.
Yeah, and do you remember we spoke to Callum about starting out and having a starter plot on our site? Well, things have moved on since then, Elaine. He's now on a full plot, and we want to find out all about it.
Callum, thanks very much for joining us. I don't know if you're scared. I don't know why you're over the other side of the table instead of being this side, but nevertheless, you've now moved on to a full-size plot. Why are you still here?
I ask myself that question every day. I'm still here because I love this site. I love this site more than anything. It's so friendly. It's so lovely, especially in the summer. I'm still here because I love growing. I love being at the allotment. It's done so much for me in the past year in terms of my confidence, my mental health, my physical health as well. And I just wanted to carry that on for as long as possible.
That's actually really interesting that you include physical health, because very few people mention it. You do have to be fit and healthy, don't you, to get going on an allotment. And a lot of people don't realise how much physical work is involved in it all.
No. Oh. No, tell us what you've been up to on your new plot then.
So we took our plot on back last July, and to say it was a mess is an understatement. It was very overgrown, and it was a massive challenge. I think we looked at it at first and went, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? But we started off by planning it out, deciding exactly where we wanted everything to go and how we wanted it to be when we got around to the end. We then identified some plants that we wanted to keep that were on the plot, because we had some beautiful, absolutely stunning roses that I just couldn't bear to get rid of. So we now have something like 15 roses, which all but one have survived so far.
Brilliant.
Touch wood. I'm hoping that last one will start to show at some point. But and then we've just been a lot of digging, a lot of weeding, a lot of levelling, getting beds put in, and we're just sort of halfway through. I don't even know, I can't even say halfway through, because it feels like it, but we've done so much.
But Callum, I mean, it's fair to say that you and Jacob have almost been living up here over the past 12 months. We see you virtually every day, because we're up here virtually every day. Why are you, a young person, involved in allotmenting? Why aren't you doing something different? Because this has always been deemed as an old person's game, even though we're not old, Julia.
No, we're not.
So
no,
why is it that you're still involved?
I'm still involved. I mean, I've loved gardening since I was little, and a lot of people do say to me, it's weird that someone of your age would be obsessed with going to the allotment. When I finish work, I'm straight down. On a Saturday, I'm down as often as I can get down. I just love it here. But for me, it's, I've lived my life. I've done the partying. I've done everything in between. And this is so much better. I get so much more enjoyment out of it. And when I feel rough the next day, it's normally from good aches and pains, not not a headache and a dodgy tummy.
Tell us about your successes then, because you've moved from a starter plot, which we explained to people, is just a 7 by 3 metre allotment plot. You've taken it, it was already dug over, and then you got into planning, because we taught you how to do that, and then you moved on. Tell us about your successes.
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's been so many. It's all been a massive success, really. Even the failures have been a success, because I have learned my lesson a lot of times. successes, I mean, we absolutely filled that starter plot it was brimming. There wasn't actually a lot of space to walk around. We had a nice little square path, and at one point it turned into a U path because everything just overgrew and took over. Then moving on to the new plot, it's one big success. I was looking earlier at pictures from when we first got it compared to now, and it's unrecognisable the amount of progress we've made. And it's nice to look back on them pictures, because sometimes, so when you're down all the time and you're doing bit by bit by bit, it feels like you're not actually doing anything because the change is so slow and gradual. But when you start to look back and see that big comparison, that big change, you're like, oh, actually, it really lifts you up when you're feeling a bit defeated, which, you know, I won't lie, especially over winter with the weather. Yeah. We've had a few days where we've been, what are we doing? We've got nowhere. Are we going to be ready for the growing season? A lot of panic, a lot of feeling a bit defeated at times. But looking back on that, it's actually like, well, actually, maybe we shouldn't be so hard on ourselves. Yeah. Just because we're not exactly where we want to be. But,
yeah,
I mean, we wanted it done from day one, so it's always going to take time.
And that is the difficulty we've mentioned before, and particularly people who come to the starter plots who have no history at all, either in their family or themselves, of having a previous allotment. They watch the television programmes and everything's done in 24 hours. The reality is it's 24 months if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Do you think being on the starter plots kind of has helped you in your main plot now? What did you learn as part of that process?
I mean, learning the basics really, really helped, because it's meant that I can plan our plot a lot better. I know sort of spacings and sizing, so my beds are all very specific to the kind of things we want to grow, with a little bit of flexibility to obviously move around, because we don't want to restrict ourselves too much. But it kind of, having that basic knowledge and actually doing it for a year, seeing it go, it also gives me that motivation, that inspiration, because I know what I can do. Yes. I know what we can do. I should stop saying I so much. I know what we can do. We kind of look back and we're like, right, we need to get this done. And that's why we're pushing it. It's why we feel defeated sometimes, because we're pushing and working so hard to make sure we're ready for May.
Yeah.
So we can get stuff in the ground and we can almost hit the season running.
It's a bit like Adam Peaty, isn't it? That you just reminded me of him then, because he talks about all of the training that he does before he gets into these big competitions. And really, allotmenting is very, very similar, isn't it? You've got to do all the prep before, you've got to do all the work before, or when it comes to the growing, nothing's going to grow.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I completely agree. It's that carrot that's being dangled. It's almost the end point. And having the knowledge and the experience, it makes it all feel less daunting.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I suppose if you've not had that experience, you take on a new plot, you're a first-time grower, you've got to do all the hard work to get it cleared and sorted and ready for growing. And then you're kind of like, oh, gosh, I don't know what I'm doing. I've done all this work, and where do I go now?
Yeah.
What do I do now?
And, of course, we're obsessed with the weather forecasters. And the weather forecast. Every day for years we have watched the weather forecast. Yeah. And then when there's a frost about to happen and we've put our taters in or whatever it might be, there's a rumble that runs around this site. There's a frost coming, there's a frost coming, there's a frost coming. And so it goes on. Have you noticed anything similar about the weather fanatics yourself? Have you become one?
I have become one. I check the weather every single, I say every day, it's every hour actually. I'm always looking, especially because it's so unpredictable and it's changing so much at the moment this time of year. I'm always looking through like, oh, 3 o'clock we're going to have sunshine, or 3 o'clock it's going to start raining, and then, oh, it's moved back to 4. Oh, it's 3 o'clock again now.
Yeah.
Oh, now it's 5, like we've got the time.
Yeah.
And it makes a difference to everything that's growing as well, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, massively.
So when we talk about the weather and how important the weather forecast is, it's only when you're doing it that you get it, don't you?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So you're on your new plot now. Yes. It's all very exciting, and we have been watching the progress of both of you, because you are working so hard and so diligently. What's the thing that you're aiming for in this year?
Gosh, this year, just to get things in. That's the basic, the starting. I want to be able to grow something. We're keeping it as simple as we can by sort of going by a lot of the seeds that we had left over from last year. We're doing the things that we know we can do well, that we've done well already. A little bit of experimentation in there and a few things that we haven't done yet. But my main goal for this year is just to get as much produce as I possibly can and hopefully get it all up to where we want to be. I know it's going to be a long process, and we've, sounds bad, already started making plans for next year.
No, we always talk about next year, and it's not that far away. But I mean, what I'm interested in the fact that you have made a lot of friends on site, haven't you? You probably know more people on site than we do at the moment. Everybody looks, and there's Callum, and what's he up to? So do you think that's one of the unexpected bonuses that you had from joining the site?
Yeah, it definitely is. It's such a community on the site, and you know, you're working away really hard, and people walk by and say hello, and then they say you've done a really good job, and that boosts your spirits as well, because obviously, like I said earlier, you're working on it constantly, so you don't always see that development, that change, and when other people are pointing it out and noticing it, it's lovely.
And we noticed that you've been slipping over to Jan's plot to join her with a bottle of wine occasionally, haven't you?
I have.
Are you the allotment police, Julia?
No, I'm just wondering where our invite is.
And on top of that, we've also noticed the things that you make. It's not just about growing, but the things that you've been making as well that perhaps other people don't know about, like your hand scrub, for instance. Yes, you're looking at me. God out. Yes, you did make it. Made a Christmas present for us that was a hand scrub.
It was, yeah. It was a nice, I think it was coconut oil, brown sugar and lavender oil.
And as soon as you open it, you can smell the lavender. It smells lovely. Yeah. So it's not just about the growing of everything, but it's why you're growing things and what you're growing them for. Is that right?
Yes, 100%. And it made absolutely lovely Christmas presents that a lot of people appreciated. And I've got loads myself because I love it as well. I absolutely love taking anything I can from the allotment and creating anything from my gins to jams, chutneys. I want to get more into like some beauty products and stuff like that. My friend likes hair growth stuff, so I know you can use rosemary and stuff to make serums, which I'm planning on doing as well.
Don't let him near your rosemary bushes.
No, I'm not. Anyway, Callum, really, thank you for joining us on the podcast. Thank you for updating us, and we'll continue to enjoy and watch your progress.
I think we need you on round about Christmas so that you can inspire other people as to what you're going to do with the things off your plot.
That would be absolutely lovely, and thank you for having me back on the show.
Thanks to everybody for listening again, and thank you to Callum for joining us on the podcast. It was great to hear what he's been up to. And if you want to get in touch, please do. We like to hear about your successes. If you've got any questions, we're more than happy to receive them. Next time, what are we doing, Elaine?
Well, we are going to talk about parsnips. I know not everybody likes them, but we're going to explain to people why they take so long to germinate. That means to start sprouting. And we're also going to, you know, up here, Julia.
Yeah.
I know that you haven't had a look, but no. I'm now pointing my face upwards into the sky because we put some big shelves up in this polytunnel and then we planted a load of broad beans.
Yeah, and we planted them up there, not only so that I couldn't see and interfere with them, but also so that the mice couldn't get them.
Yeah, unless they can abseil. So what we're going to do is we'll start to harden them off. That means putting them outside. And then next time we'll put them outside in their new resting place where we're going to start them growing.
Okay. And another thing that I want to talk about next time is I want to talk about asparagus, Elaine.
Asparagus?
Yeah.
Because you've got an asparagus bed.
I've got an asparagus bed, and we'll be beginning Asparagus Watch, because last year they first came up on the 14th of April, and so I'll be watching out to see whether they're earlier this year and telling you how to set your own bed up.
I know how to set my bed up. I sort it out every week, actually. Yeah, clean sheets. That's always lovely. You know, if I ever won the lottery, I'd employ somebody, honestly.
Would you?
Well, no, I was going to say I'll employ somebody to put clean sheets on my bed every day.
Yeah, they've been hung out on the washing line.
I don't mind, just as long as I haven't got to make that bed. He doesn't know how to make it. I have to do it.
Well, the beauty with an asparagus bed is you only make it once.
Bit like a raised bed, I suppose.
The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters is an Amberland Media production.